Welcome back into Tar Heel Talk. We are very excited to be back after a little bit of a break over the summer. Blake Hodge and Ross Martin now with Inside Carolina, and we have got a lot to talk about. Ross, of course, take a little bit of a break after the basketball season concluded going into the summer, but getting cranked back up with football season just a couple of weeks away. The Cal Bears going to be the first game of the new season for Carolina. A lot of questions on the offensive side, a lot of guys that have gone to the NFL and have been making a pretty good impression so far. But you said this before we go on the air, the sixth season for Larry Fedora. That feels weird. It doesn't seem like he's been here that long, I guess.
Yeah, and I want to say that's the maybe the second longest tenure in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously after Mack Brown, but there is some consistency now, and every guy on the team is his player that he recruited fully. And now it's kind of, you know, it's completely his program.
Yeah.
And it's time to kind of,
you got to own it at this point, you know?
Yeah. You know, now
not
you have,
that he hasn't been, but
now you got to build that consistency and, you know, can't have those ups and downs if you want to maintain the direction that he wants the program to go. So big year this year with a lot of, kind of weird expectations, hype for different players. I don't think it's too challenging of a schedule, but it's got some cool games, I think,
yeah,
for fans.
Absolutely.
And it should be a very interesting year. Obviously, tons of storylines in training camp, particularly on the offensive side. I'm sure we'll get into this more on the show. Some positives on the defensive side, but we're here. We're less than 10 days away from the start of the football season.
Yeah, that's wild. So you've got Cal coming up to open the slate, and then get right into ACC play after that. Louisville with their Heisman Trophy winner coming to Chapel Hill, so that'll be a fun one here locally. First road game is a bit odd. They're going to Old Dominion, so that'll be an interesting game up there. And then Duke, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame. Duke and Notre Dame are here in Chapel Hill. Virginia's in Chapel Hill. Go to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech. Hosting Miami at Pittsburgh, hosting Western Carolina, and then close out the season at State. And all the hype going into the season certainly seems like State is going to be a really good team this year. But from being around the program in the preseason training camp that they've been going through here, what's stood out the most to you? I mean, we're going to talk specifics of replacing a lot of guys that they lost here coming up throughout the show today. But generally, overall, what has stood out to you?
The main thing is just the questions on offense, obviously, replacing so many players. And just even, you know, 9 days away from kickoff against Cal, there's still questions at running back, quarterback, wide receiver, and some offensive line questions. And obviously, if Fedora and the staff had their way, they would have settled a lot of those jobs earlier in camp. So they're going to get some consistency and build some, you know, some chemistry among those positions, especially the offensive line. And obviously, you want one voice at quarterback, running with the first team as much as they can. Seems like even today, there's an availability on Thursday today. There's probably, you know, still two guys competing for quarterback, maybe three, going into a mock game on, I believe, Saturday or Sunday.
So we can get into the weeds of this a little bit, but it's interesting to have fewer questions about the defensive side. I mean, through Fedora's entire career, not just his time at Carolina, there's been this high-powered, high-octane, just really fast offense that has followed him around everywhere, and it certainly took off immediately here in Chapel Hill. I mean, you're looking at the guys that graduated last year that are now in the NFL. Those were his recruits as well, and guys like Trubisky and Ryan Switzer and Matt Collins that are all playing really well so far, it seems like, at the NFL level in their rookie seasons and expecting to produce for those teams in Chicago, Dallas, and Philadelphia, respectively. But the defensive side has gone from historically bad to improving over the last couple of years with Gene Chizik. Now he's gone. Papuchis is now the defensive coordinator. So looking at that side with a little more of a veteran feel over there, what should we be broadly expecting from them?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be excited about for UNC fans on the defense, especially considering the depth they have at linebacker. You know, they have a legit two deep there with some good players like Andre Smith and Casey Collins. I think there's some potential for good players on the defensive line. Obviously, they have to go out and prove it. I think losing Nazir Jones is huge. So getting that kind of stud that can take on two blocks is going to be big. And then the secondary, there's some new names, some fresh names like a Miles Dorn, KJ Sales, Patrice Herne, who've got some time underneath their belt, and of course MJ Stewart and Donnie Miles, who are proven commodities back there. So there's some legit talent, some NFL talent on defense, and they're going to have to carry the team, I think, for these first couple games to just allow the offense to catch up, and the offense may not score as many points as we're used to, and maybe have to win with, you know, in the teens or 20s, depending on, you know, how the offense does. And there's just so many unknowns right now. It's hard. I've been talking about UNC football for 4 weeks now without having seen more than 30 minutes of practice twice a week.
Yeah.
And those are just drills. So, you know, who knows? I mean, they could be really good on offense just based on maybe some guys step up on at wide receiver. You know, they could struggle on defense. You never know right now. And that's what's so exciting, because there's no preseason game. We aren't allowed in the scrimmages. We aren't allowed in these mock games. So we'll find out September 2nd against Cal, which I think will be a good game for UNC to very much get their feet wet.
Yeah, and you know, this is kind of just the changing landscape of college football. I mean, LSU didn't allow any access at all to the media. It's all university-produced stuff that's coming out, so hard to get the real story. And Andrew Carter with the NNO wrote about this a few days ago, I feel like, of the Marquise Williams situation three years ago, whenever they played right up until game time, saying, oh, we don't know who's going to be the starter, ends up being Quees, and then he gave up the secret there after the game that he actually found out a couple of weeks before there. Does it seem like, from the limited stuff you have been able to see, we're playing some of these kind of games about, you know, planning out against Cal, allowing them as little information as possible, or do you think it's a legitimate still trying to sort it out?
I think after this mock game, they'll probably name a quarterback internally, you would think. It's probably the last chance for players to kind of prove themselves, because they're going to be they're installing game plan stuff probably right now,
yeah,
starting Thursday, Friday, and then into next week. I mean, I actually asked Fedora this last time I spoke with him, and he said there's no advantage to not naming a quarterback in terms of confusing the opponent. Mm. Who knows, you know? They're going to prepare for the offense, not really a player. I think that's what most teams do, unless there's just some stud they know is going to be a
especially
starter.
Especially this early in the season, there are so many question marks.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's legit competition. I think you have – we're going to get into this more, obviously, but there's, you know, there's three or four guys who can do a lot of different things and do some things special, and each has their strengths. And so it's kind of pick your poison, and obviously it's a tough decision for Fedora. But he does like to keep things close to the vest. I mean, who knows? It could have been named 2 weeks ago, and we have no idea.
Yeah, so always trying to figure out what's going on behind the sunglasses there for Larry Fedora. So we'll get more into that with what's coming up from the quarterback position, what we can expect from that whenever we come back here on Tar Heel Talk, 97.9 The Hill. Days away from Carolina's first football game against the Cal Bears here in Chapel Hill, and still not 100% sure about who's going to be taking snaps under center, or more likely from the shotgun for the Tar Heels this season. This is Tar Heel Talk, 97.9 Hill. Blake Hodge alongside Inside Carolina's Ross Martin. And Ross, from what you have seen and what y'all are hearing, is there a lead at all in terms of quarterbacks? I mean, everybody just kind of assumed, I think, that Brandon Harris was going to come in, the graduate transfer from LSU, impress everybody, separate himself, win the job, and we could go on and move about our day. But that doesn't seem to have happened based off of what we at least know from the availabilities that we've had so far. You got Brandon Harris, Nathaniel Elliott has been with the program the longest. He's been there a long time, but I just found out he's left-handed the other day. So he hasn't been on the field a whole lot during Elliott. And then Chaz Surratt and Logan Bird, the two guys that came in as freshmen last year that redshirted. So from what you've seen, give us a breakdown on those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was – yeah, there was kind of this maybe flawed assumption on our part that Harris would come in and win the job, off the bat.
Right.
Based on his experience, his arm strength, kind of, you know, the fact that he started for LSU, one of the premier programs in the country.
I mean, he was really highly recruited to LSU as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason he got benched last year, obviously.
Yeah.
And he had to come in and learn this whole new language, this whole new way of the offense, a spread offense, you know, different types of three-step drop, five-step drop, seven-foot foot drop, all these different things he had to learn. The verbiage, it's very difficult. And he, Fedora and Coach Eckendorf and Coach Cap have kind of said that he had to come in and just, it was just a very big change for him, and he had to do it in a month, or, you know, he got some, like, a little head start in the summer. So I think it's been a little tough for him to get complete control of the offense. You know, you are the general. You have to direct running backs and linemen and the wide receivers where they need to go, along with knowing where to look and how to look off safeties and where to put the ball, how to move your body because you're running that run-pass option. Mm-hmm. You're running different types of spread plays. So I think it's a little bit more of a challenge from him, but the more Fedora doesn't name a quarterback, gives him more time, more reps, and a chance to win the job. So I think that's kind of what they're doing, maybe giving him a little more time to get it. So right now, from what we've heard inside Carolina, it's between Chad Surratt, the redshirt freshman out of Lincoln, in Lincoln High School, or East Lincoln High School in Denver, North Carolina, and Brandon Harris, the grad transfer.
That's interesting. That Surratt has made that much of a leap from where he was as a freshman also.
That's what we've heard. Obviously, Coach Cap said it was down to three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Coach Heck and Coach Fedora said four quarterbacks. They're not giving us anything. So, you know, and then, but look, you have whoever starts, you have a good backup, I think. I think you have a guy that can play. You would maybe see two, even three quarterbacks play, even against Cal, maybe run out both. At various, obviously, different times in the game, and see who is the best quarterback under pressure, under lights, when it counts, and make a decision based on that. I think that's something we could see, an even situational game with Surratt being a better runner, Harris being a better thrower, maybe Nathan Elliott being more of a game control manager, efficient and consistent. So that's my breakdown.
And we tried that a couple of years ago, or we saw them try that with Marquise and with Mitch. It was a really odd, every like third series, Mitch would go out there and they couldn't get any rhythm that way. So we'll see if they're able to accomplish any of that this year.
And one thing, I mean, Harris is on a 1-year loan. He's not going to be here next year. So you got to think towards the future. And it seems like maybe Surratt is the guy, the quarterback of the future. So maybe get him some experience like Fedora did with Mitch. And obviously that paid off. Mitch was ready to go when it mattered, even coming in against Virginia.
Couple
in
of times,
2000,
yeah.
I want to say 14 came in and threw that strike for a game-winning touchdown.
The same thing against Virginia Tech the next year, I think, also. I mean, he had several instances where he came in off the bench because Kweese's helmet would fly off way too often.
He runs so much. So, I think, prepping Surratt for that, maybe that starting job next year is something the staff has in the back of their mind.
All right, so that's certainly an interesting development. But one thing you mentioned with Harris that I thought caught my ear a little bit was telling everybody else where to go. And he's not going, in terms of lining up correctly and everything. And he's not coming into a really veteran setup. I mean, they lost Elijah Hood, T.J. Logan at the running back position, and Chris Francis. You lose Matt Collins, Bug Howard, Ryan Switzer at the wide receiver spot. Along the offensive line, you've got a few guys that have gone on to the NFL or exhausted their eligibility. It's a lot of new moving parts for the Tar Heels this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with the offensive line. They've got to get that set. I think there's some good names there with Cam Diller, the grad transfer.
They seem pumped about him.
Yeah, I mean, they're super high on him, Fedora and Coach Cap. And he came in and won the job within 3 or 4 days. I don't think there was much competition there, honestly. But they got him set at center, and he's been a great leader. So that's set. Bentley Spain's been injured. He started 2 years at left tackle as a senior this year. So working in some new names. I think you've got to be excited about William Sweet and Charlie Heck, not to get too in detail on some names that most of our listeners do not know. But there are some players on the offensive line. It's all about chemistry and building that depth. There's some guys who have not been with the team, players that left and came back.
I was going to say, there was the USC transfer that people were excited about, and then he retired, and now he came back.
Yep, that was weird.
So,
and then, he's probably going to be a backup now because he missed, the toughest 10 days of camp and just jumped back in.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Hatton has been gone the majority of camp. Who knows where he is? So there's just a lot of there's some question marks there, but I think they've got some good players. As long as they get Spain back and healthy, and we expect that to happen maybe in time for Cal, maybe in time for Louisville. And then, yeah, I mean, outside of that, we can get to wide receivers.
Right, yeah. So looking at the running back spot, that's another place they got a grad transfer in Stanton Truitt. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about him.
He's been injured.
Oh, is that what it is?
I believe. Okay.
So he's not getting a lot of run. You've got the sophomore that is coming back that is the only guy that had any experience with any live game carries for the Tar Heels. And then a couple of freshmen that sounds like they're really going to be relying on this year.
Yeah, so Jordan Brown is the guy. I think he had something like 25 carries for 40 yards for a touchdown.
And most of that came in that bowl game where Elijah was out as well.
Yeah, so he's got the most returning carries. You know, we didn't really see him, so we don't know how good he's going to be. He's a decently high recruited guy out of Durham. And the big name is Michael Carter, who I expect to be the man, you know, at least midway through the season. Really dynamic runner, quick guy out of Florida. Might be returning some kicks, maybe some returning some punts. But as long as he stays healthy, I think he has a chance to be really special, particularly in UNC's spread. Running back we talked about during an interview session said that Michael Carter was clocked at going 22 miles per hour.
22?
On the GPS tracker they use.
I don't know. That sounds fast. I don't know what the relative number for that is.
And he said, like, his cuts, he's never seen anybody make cuts like that. Small guy, kind of like a Gio Bernard, maybe a little bit smaller than Gio Bernard.
But
that kind of player in terms of low to the ground and mobility like that. And then there's just not many names. I mean, there's a freshman got injured already. They moved over Kane Roberts, who was a linebacker. He's going to be one of their running backs this year. And they moved over another linebacker in Jonathan Sutton to the running back spot. So there is a lot of depth issues at running back.
Yeah, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence.
Yeah, because there's just no one with experience. And then just there's not many names. There's no Elijah Hood. There's no TJ Logan. It makes Hood's decision that much more crucial.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he could be a senior at UNC right now.
Right. Who knows if that's a situation he wanted to be in. It's not like he was coming back with, you know, Mitch and Switz and Hollins and all these guys. I mean, he may have been the lone guy back there, and he was already dealing with his own set of injury issues there. It ends up being a seventh-round pick for the Raiders, so it is what it is with Elijah at this point. It was an odd way to go about that decision in general. I mean, to announce that he wasn't going to play in the bowl game, but at the same time, he was coming back for his senior year. At that point, we still didn't know about Mitch. And then he announces, like, 2 or 3 days before Mitch announces that he is also leaving. So certainly an odd way to go about it, but for somebody that was dealing with the injury issues that he already was, kind of hard to say, come back and play for kind of an uncertain team, I feel like. Out at the wide receiver spot, Austin Prohl is one of the few guys that we have heard from a lot in his Carolina career that's coming back on the offensive side. Is there anybody else that has stepped up and has looked impressive? I mean, are we just going to see kind of a rotation of young guys out there, or is that an area they've been building some depth over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some – there's no lack of names. I mean, there's people who have been in the system for 2 or 3 years that just haven't played because of the guys we mentioned who are now in the NFL. You got Austin Prohl, you got Thomas Jackson. Got a guy like Devin Perry, who's turned some heads at a recent scrimmage. We got an article up on the site about him. A guy like Josh Cabrera, Javol Millett, the freshman, Bo Corrales,
yeah.
And Daz Newsome have been turning some heads with what they can bring. Corrales might be the most talented tall receiver they have on the roster.
Which, the last few years they've had Quinshad, and then you have Bug Howard, so you had that role kind of cemented, but I mean, they've just lost so much talent on the offensive side.
Yeah, I mean, they lost like 86% of their production, and if you count receiver receptions, they lost close to like 95-98%. I mean,
yeah, and you're talking about those numbers, which make a lot of sense, but also they're just really good. Like, you know, you're turning around, these guys are not having that much of an issue transitioning to the NFL in terms of Ryan Switzer jumped in with the Dallas Cowboys and has been immediately kind of gravitated to with the guys there. He's been dealing with a bit of a hamstring issue. Mac Hollins doing the same thing with his special team influence and wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles so far in the preseason, had a couple of nice catches already. So not only X percent of what was a good offense last year, but those are some just really good guys.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this is going to be a big test for Larry Fedora. This is the toughest challenge he's had. He's admitted that in terms of how much they lost. And it's going to really see how they've developed players and how he can get them to fit in their system, how he can fit his system to what he has. He doesn't have a guy like Mac who can just go deep and throw it up to. You don't have a shifty guy like Switzer or a power runner like Hood. You just don't have those players. So how is he going to adapt the offense to what he's got in terms of quarterback, in terms of running back, wide receiver, offensive line, and how it's going to play out. So there is reason to be concerned about the UNC offense heading to the season, and we'll know more when we see them play. But I think it's going to be growing pains early as guys get comfortable playing underneath the lights and comfortable in their new roles.
It really shows that Fedora really hit on those first couple of recruiting classes as well that he had with Carolina. And we'll see. Yeah. While he had some time there to figure out, you know, he had guys that you knew you could just plug in and go, see how good he did fill in the rest of the roster out there. All right, so we have given you kind of the update on what we're expecting or maybe not really expecting from the offensive side for the Tar Heels, but it'll be a little bit weird this year because it looks like the better unit may be on the other side of the ball, on the defense for the Tar Heels. We'll get an update on how they're looking through camp so far with the first game just a few days away here on 97.9 The Hill. This is Tar Heel Talk. Welcome back to Tar Heel Talk, 97.9 The Hill. Blake Hodge with WCHL with Ross Martin inside Carolina. And we have got a little bit of a weird situation this year with the UNC football team. A lot of questions on the offensive side. Not as many on the defensive side. A lot of returning guys, a lot of veterans that have been playing really well for the Tar Heels over the last few years as they've had a really high-powered offense, but at points a historically bad defense, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case this year. Ross, you mentioned a few guys earlier in the opening segment here of that have really built themselves into good football players. Andre Smith, Kaysen Collins, MJ Stewart, guys that are seemingly NFL talent level guys. So from looking at the defensive unit as a whole, has anything jumped out to you in terms of some of the guys that you were expecting a lot from this year? I mean, those guys are going to have to carry a lot of the weight this year.
Yeah, I think you look at the linebacker group with Andre Smith, Kaysen Collins, and Cole Holcomb. The starting group from last year's back, so you would expect them to be a lot better, and they're going to have to be good. And then on the defensive line, there's like 8 or 9 names of guys who are going to play. I'll just throw out a couple. I think Jalen Dalton, 4-star player, one of the bigger recruits in the Fedora era, has a chance to be really special. He kind of hasn't broken out yet. He's a junior. He's big. He's long. He moved inside to the defensive tackle. A lot of natural ability. So this could be a special year for him if he puts it all together. And they need that kind of player inside who can be disruptive. And I think there's a lot of buzz around Tamon Fox. He's a redshirt freshman, a very highly recruited guy. He's going to be a pass rusher specialist.
He got himself hurt and like real early last year, didn't he? He played in that Georgia game.
Played 2 games last year as a true freshman, but he still got his redshirt year because he got injured. And he's back and healthy. And so those are 2 names of guys I'm looking forward to seeing. You know, you have some guys you may know, Jeremiah Clark, Aaron Crawford, Malik Carney. There's just a lot of Tyler Powell. There's just a lot of names that we know already that are still waiting to have significant impacts on the defense. And I think when you look at this defense, the big difference is you got a new defensive coordinator in John Papuchis, who moves from the linebacker coaching role to the defensive coordinator role. And so he's using the same scheme and system that him and Gene Chizik created 2 years ago. So there's not too many changes in terms of scheme, but obviously it's a different guy. You're going to have different packages. He's going to be a little more aggressive. I think they can be more aggressive with the talent they have. You know, there's going to be a different voice in the room. So there should be some differences from what we've seen the last 2 years with kind of that bend and break defense that Gene Chizik employed.
And, you know, the part of that was out of necessity of just wasn't the talent there, but it seems like they really focused on that on the recruiting side. Was anybody expecting Chizik to come back for a third year? It felt like it was always a stopgap thing for Chizik. I mean, his family never moved here or anything else. So do you think it was a surprise or were people expecting that last year was going to be the end of the road with Carolina and Gene Chizik?
I think once it was pretty established his family wasn't moving, that was going to be it. I think he signed a 2-year contract, or maybe 1-year contract and another 1-year contract.
And I
think his son really liked playing football in Auburn. It was a good football program. You come to Chapel Hill, there's not many good high school football programs. You know, his family went to his, I think his twin daughters went to school at Auburn, like at the university. And so they never moved. And so it was kind of a family decision. I'm sure he could wind back, you know, find a coaching job or a coordinator job in a couple of years. I think he's doing TV for ESPN, some radio for ESPN.
He's doing some motivational speaking.
Yeah,
according to his Twitter.
I mean, I got a chance to know him pretty well. I mean, he was a stand-up guy. You could tell, you know, why people like playing for him, how he won a championship. I mean, he was a I really enjoyed getting to know him, and I think it had a huge impact on this defense. Obviously, the last 2 years helping them to get to the ACC championship game, win 11 games that year, and last year winning 8 games. And you'll see his touch on the defense, obviously, with the players he recruited and the scheme this season. So even though Gene Chizik is not there, his impact will be felt this year and next year.
Are there any new guys that we're seeing a lot about? I mean, we talked about some freshmen on the offensive side of the ball. It seemed like there were a lot of highly touted defensive players coming in again, but they may be in that kind of the shuffle along the defensive line. And, you know, Jake Lawler seems to be the guy that people were excited about really coming into the season as well.
I think the name to know is Jordan Riley out of Durham. Mm-hmm. He's been getting a lot of buzz at defensive tackle, a position that doesn't take much. It's just kind of like go get the ball, go get the quarterback. Yeah. There's not a lot of like mental thought process going on. So you can come in if you're physically ready and strong and fast, you can come in and play. And he's the fifth defensive tackle on the depth chart. And he's a big guy, 6'6", you know, 300 pounds.
But they want to run a lot of guys out there, it seems like.
So there's like eight or 10 guys that can play at on the defensive line.
That's wild.
And then a sophomore, Miles Dorn. You may not know his name because he didn't play too much last year, but he played enough where the staff feel really good about him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a 6'2", really freakish athlete. His dad played running back at UNC. His brother plays basketball at NC State.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a name. He's going to be the starting safety for the next 3 years. So it's a name to know. Miles Dorn out of Charlotte, a big recruit that Clemson wanted, Ohio State wanted, you know, and he's going to be a player this year for at safety for UNC. And they need that kind of ball hawk, ball skill player with that athleticism, the speed, and the smarts.
Because they had two really good cornerbacks last year. I mean, that was really a strength of being able to put Des Lawrence and MJ Stewart out there and not have to do a whole lot of extra help with them specifically. Now, they also ran some freshmen out there that you had to pay a lot more attention to in terms of some other secondary help. But, you know, Des Lawrence is now gone, graduated. But MJ Stewart made the decision to come back, and people are talking like he's going to be one of the best cornerbacks in the country this year.
Yeah. I mean, he came back for a reason. We had plenty of time to talk to him at the ACC kickoff in Charlotte. You know, he felt like he didn't have a great year last year, and, you know, the team got one interception. He didn't get any.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to come back and prove what kind of player he was and move up the draft board a little bit. I think he would have been like a third, fourth round pick last year. I think he has a chance to be kind of that second, third round pick this year. And he, I mean, he's a guy. He's the number one pro prospect on UNC's roster by far. Pro football.
For this year or overall?
Yeah, for this year. I mean, obviously there's guys that could be better later on.
Yeah.
But Pro Football Focus named him a preseason All-American. They've always been high on him, and they're the most stat-heavy tape review system out there. So, yeah, huge leader. He's going to play slot corner and some regular corner. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to start with him. And losing him would be huge for this team if he was not there. I mean, he's with the most important, obviously, player in the secondary and one of the most important players on defense. And a leader on both sides of the ball in terms of just being that senior voice in the room.
Now, whenever you're looking at kind of the long-term projections on this, you know, we just rode a big wave of offensive players that were there and playing very early on. It feels like we're kind of in that same situation on the defensive side now, where there are a couple of guys that we've seen for a few years in Kaysen Collins. I believe he might be a senior this year, MJ Stewart. But there's a lot of young guys that people are really excited about as well. Are we seeing the same type of arc there, you think?
On defense?
On defense, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got some cornerbacks, KJ Sales, Patrice Rene,
they came in and played, or Rene at least, I know, played as a freshman. I'm not sure about Sales.
Yeah, Trey Shaw is a true freshman. Yeah. No real linebackers. I mean, Jonathan Smith is a sophomore who played a little bit last year before getting injured.
And Andre a redshirt? Sorry,
he's a true junior.
Okay.
Yeah, so because they have so much depth and experience, there's not going to be a huge amount of freshmen seeing time on the defense there. But I think it's going to be exciting to see how they do. I think they have some guys who can make some plays. They're going to need that. They're going to need to get the ball back. They're going to need to make that stop. They're going to need to, you know, get off the field and give the offense more opportunities. And I think it's going to be really interesting to watch. And I think that the new staff they brought in, I like Mike Eckler a lot, the linebackers coach.
He looks like a football coach.
Yeah.
He's like that classic defensive coach that just is like a Will Muschamp, just can't stop yelling, it looks like.
They brought over Deke Adams, who was at UNC with Fedora's first year and at Southern Miss with Fedora. And his son, Jordan Adams, is a top, a top 50 wide receiver, four-star guy. Almost a five. We have him as a five-star guy at 24/7 Sports. And then the defensive backs coach, his name is escaping me. But they have three.
Terry Joseph?
Yeah, Terry Joseph. Good job. They have three new voices in the defensive coaching staff as well.
I think that's one of the interesting things with the success that Carolina has had over the last few years is that now you've got other programs coming in and trying to pick off some of the guys that have been ingrained in this Larry Fedora staff for a little while.
Yeah, that's worthy to touch on. Not only has he been recruiting great players who obviously have gone to the NFL and had some success there, but yeah, his staff has had some big turnover there, which attests, I mean, it's not good for UNC to lose that continuity, but obviously
right.
Fedora is getting desirable guys who have proven they can coach and are moving on to SEC programs.
Well, we have got a lot more to wrap up with here whenever we come back on 97.9 The Hill for Tar Heel Talk. We'll run you through the schedule a little bit and see if we can even squeeze in some basketball news here with a little bit of a recap after we have been off for a few weeks here on Tar Heel Talk. 97.9 The Hill. First game of the Tar Heel football season coming up September 2nd, hosting the California Bears. Then we've got right into ACC play with a really tough game for the Tar Heels against Louisville. The Cardinals bring in their Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson at quarterback to Chapel Hill. Ross, let's run through the schedule here and give everybody a preview. I mean, we've talked a lot about the offensive side, defensive side, what we can expect from them, and obviously projecting from the start of the season, there's a lot of unknowns. But Ross Martin with Inside Carolina, Blake Hodge here with 97.9 The Hill, going to give you our best look as we can here over the season as a whole. You mentioned earlier you felt like this was a good game to kind of get your feet wet for the newcomers on the Tar Heel side of the football against Cal. Why?
I don't think Cal's a new coach too.
Yeah.
And a whole new scheme, and they weren't good last year. So, I mean, I think like UNC, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know much about Cal right now. But I think it'd be fun if we want to go, let's just go through them all and each predict.
Oh, all right.
And talk a little bit about
I'm
that.
I'm going to have to keep a record of this so I can call you out later.
Yeah, and right. I'll call you out.
Perfect. Cal, all right.
So I think they beat Cal at home. Obviously, this is a so it's a 12:20, which is 9:20 West Coast time.
That's true.
So that's a little thing to look at there. I think that UNC wins.
All right. I agree with you. I think Carolina's going to come out of the gate. This was one of the turning points with, I guess, a couple of years ago where the Illinois game was in Chapel Hill. And that just felt like a game that in other years Carolina would find a way to lose. And they came out and just dominated in that game. And I think that is kind of the same situation we've got here. I feel like this is a game where you wouldn't be shocked 4 or 5 years ago if Carolina lost this game, no matter how good or bad Cal was. But this year, a little bit different. So win for Cal in hosting Louisville, getting started with ACC play. Not sure if Louisville is going to be as good as they were last year, but they're still ranked in the preseason top 25. I think they're 16th, something like that. They still have Lamar Jackson, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from last season. That's going to be a tough one for the Tar Heels, so I'm going to come out with the first loss of the season.
I will agree and go with a loss there. I think the big, they got stud. I mean, for a defense that we don't know too much, we don't know how good they're going to be, but he's a freak athlete. Obviously, the Heisman winner last year.
Yeah.
And one thing, they looked awful against Houston last year. That's and that true. Was late in the season there. The offensive line was sketchy, so should be interesting to see.
Yeah, so at that point, you're 1-1 on the season, probably 0-1 in conference play. When they go to Old Dominion, this is a little bit of an interesting situation. I think Old Dominion just jumped up from the FCS level to FBS, or else they're planning to very shortly. But this is an area that they try to recruit a lot as well. Is that why they're going up there?
Yeah, they have a home and home with Old Dominion. So Old Dominion will play at UNC, I don't know if it's next year or 2019. But that's why. And they're doing that because of recruiting, you know, get some recruits to be able, you know, the vibe around UNC football coming in town. But I think that's a win for UNC.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part. Win for UNC as well. And then hosting Duke. I think Duke is going to be improved over last year. They weren't very good last year, but they beat Carolina last year. So you got to take that into account. I think they're going for some revenge there and get a win against Duke.
I agree.
This is going to be a lot of fun if we just copy each other.
UNC should not have lost to Duke last year. I think that quarterback's good. Daniel Jones
is very good. He's a very good quarterback. And they should not have lost that game. We talked about this at the tail end of the season of you go through and you end up beating Florida State. You beat Miami, both on the road, and you're thinking this is going to be the year for Carolina. And you know maybe they should have capitalized on it then. But then you come down and lose against Duke and State and just could not have had a worse ending to the season. So I think they try to get some revenge and do so against Duke. Travel to Georgia Tech. I know that they just kicked a running back, their leading returner. They kicked their running back off of the team at Georgia Tech earlier this week or last week. So they're still going to have some holes to fill. Georgia Tech is always difficult to play. I remember Shaquille Rashad and Jeff Schottmer that were in here last year with us talking about how much of a pain it is to play against Georgia Tech with that triple option offense. I think Georgia Tech wins that game.
Ooh. Yeah, how was Georgia Tech last year? I'm trying to pull up the schedule.
Honestly, I'm flying blind here.
I will go win there.
All right, Ross with a win. Georgia Tech. Notre Dame comes in. Notre Dame was garbage last year, 4-8. Brian Kelly certainly seems to be a bad football coach for Notre Dame over the past little stretch here. So in Chapel Hill, it's always an exciting event for whatever reason to have Notre Dame come to the Triangle. So for sure, feels like one where Carolina will find a way to lose, but I'm going to go against my instinct and say that they win that game.
You say UNC wins that?
I'm going to say UNC. I don't know why, but I'm going to say UNC wins that game.
I'm going to say UNC loses that game.
All right. So now
I think Notre Dame is just, I mean, Brian Kelly's desperate. They got players there. They can
absolutely
recruit there. And
absolutely.
So I just think last year was kind of a fluky year. And they're going to look at, coming back and winning big here after losing.
Poor DeShone Kizer going to go from starting at Notre Dame on a 4-8 team to possibly starting for the Browns this year. Yeah. So
Georgia Tech was 9-4 last year.
Okay. Thanks for rounding out that part of the conversation. Virginia. Yeah. All right. Can we just move on and say they win against Virginia? Virginia's going to be really bad, right?
Virginia at home.
So wins there. At Virginia Tech, going to Blacksburg is never fun. This could be a start of a rough stretch here as well because you got Virginia Tech, Miami, Pittsburgh, Western Carolina State to close out the rest of the season. I think it's possible they win, if it goes badly, one of those games. So I think they lose at Virginia Tech.
I think they lose as well.
Hosting Miami, everybody's picking Miami to be the breakout team, win the Coastal this year, but we've done this, I feel like, four or five times now where we expect Miami to do a lot, and they haven't in the past. I think the difference this year is Mark Richt and having that leadership as the head coach, and we've seen the way he's recruited, and I think Miami beats Carolina in Chapel Hill this year.
I agree. Second year under Mark Richt. He's getting in some of his players. And he's a good coach. He's a good program builder. So,
yeah.
And I think the hype around them is real. UNC beat them last year in Miami, but I think they come back. Yeah. They did lose some talent, though.
At Pittsburgh. Carolina wins at Pittsburgh.
They lose at Pittsburgh.
Oh, all right. Sure. Western Carolina in Chapel Hill. I went to App, so I would never pick Western Carolina to win anything ever.
What a nasty rivalry that is.
You don't want to get in the middle of that.
UNC wins at home against Western Carolina.
And then they close out the season, unfortunately, losing in Raleigh.
I think they win in Raleigh.
Whoa!
Just because? State's going to have, like, they're going to be like, I don't know. It's a game that
State
going to
get
loses.
Too big for their britches, and then Carolina come in and pop them.
That's just a game that you kind of expect State to lose. Maybe they hyped up all season. I could see things falling apart.
Well, there you go. We're going to be back the week after the first game against Cal, so we're excited about that. We'll have some great guests lined up for you because Ross is great at convincing people to come onto this show for some reason. But thanks for hanging out with us for a little while. Game against Cal coming up September 2nd, 12:20 kickoff. That means 9 o'clock pregame show here on 97.9 The Hill. Game is in Chapel Hill, so get out and support the Tar Heels. Labor Day weekend, it's going to be a great time. was had by all. So we're going to get out of here on Tar Heel Talk, 97.9 The Hill. Ross Martin is from Inside Carolina. I'm Blake Hodge here with WCHL.